From the East Coast of America and the front lines of American healthcare, it's the Dashing MD podcast. And not just any Dashing MD podcast, no, this is the first of the Dashing MD podcast's version 2.0. That's right, folks. You can't leave a podcast for as long as I have left this podcast and not come back with something new. I mean, from a purely marketing point of view, it's just embarrassing. And plus, I think in the past few months, as I have not broadcast this podcast, it's not because it hasn't been on my mind. It's because I just haven't been sure quite what to say or how to say it. I think that's clarifying for me now, though, and so we're going to get going with the Dashing MD podcast, version 2. Not that much has changed, of course, in version 2. You can still reach me at dashingmd@gmail.com. You can still check out the blog, dashingmd.blogspot.com. You can still become my friend on Facebook, Dashing Doctor, D-O-C-T-E-U-R, at Facebook, is my name. It's been a long time. It's been since July. What's happened since then? Just a little. The podcast went on a long hiatus as I went into a summer that had a lot of fun elements to it. A lot of travel, some great weddings, some mild advances in the world of research. The podcast was on hiatus as we went into the fall, and I took some interesting classes, had some mild research accomplishments. The podcast was on hiatus on Tuesday when this country elected a new president and made this podcaster extraordinarily proud of his country. We're going to talk about that a little bit more going forward. But first, I think it is important to acknowledge that it has been an incredibly long time since I have produced an episode of the podcast, and for that I am sorry. I know there are people out there who enjoy listening to this, and I've really enjoyed always providing you with content, and I enjoy it more when I'm able to do it regularly. And if you've been following the podcast for a while, you've been following sort of my struggle to find something to say, something new, something interesting about the topic of this podcast, which is surgery and medicine and its practice and how what it is to be a doctor in America today. But if you've been following the podcast, you know that that has been something of a struggle since I stopped being involved in day-to-day practice of medicine and started spending 2 years in a laboratory, which is a very different place to be. I think part of the reason for the delay in coming out with this episode is because I've continued to struggle with that. Part of it, I think, is more universal phenomenon with podcasts. I've taken to reading a little bit about blogs and podcasts and how to do them and how to, you know, this, what the sort of culture and philosophy and sociology behind these things is. And it appears to be actually a fairly universal truth that podcasts, you know, typically will go on and produce things initially very regularly and very frequently, and then the frequency will sort of drop off. And they have a natural history of being something that people start out being very excited about and then sort of dropping off and dropping off and dropping off and finally stopping altogether. Usually without warning, usually with a bold introduction to the upcoming episode at the end of the last episode, and then silence and nothingness. So, that I think almost happened with this podcast, but in the end it turned out that I kept thinking about it, kept feeling like I wanted to do it, kept thinking of things I wanted to be telling you, and that won. But the podcast is going to be a little different. I'm not sure how apparent it will be to you, I think it's going to be quite apparent to me, just sitting here speaking into this microphone. I feel as though I'm coming at it from a different place. But we're going to talk about that in a little bit. First, let's go to the mailbag. It's been a long time since I've been to the mailbag, but there hasn't been a lot of mail. We have one letter from Leah, and Leah wrote back in September. Apologies to Leah. Dear Dashing MD, I really enjoy listening to your podcasts. Thank you for sharing your experiences and your personal thoughts. I'm currently applying to medical school, so it's great to hear what you're going through and what the journey is really like. It's inspiring and motivating. I think your new mystery patient at the end of every episode is a great idea and a fun challenge. I have a few questions for you. One, before you decided on surgery, were there any other areas you considered? What factors help you decide? Lifestyle, abilities, interests, beliefs, etc. Two, do you have any advice or suggestions for students applying to medical school? Is there anything you think a student should do to prepare themselves for medical school? For example, emotionally or personally? Well, yeah, those are great questions. And they actually do speak to sort of where I see this podcast going, which is in a direction of being a podcast that's less me prattling about my own observations on the world and more a podcast about what we can do as individuals to be a little bit more or a little bit better prepared to reach for our dreams. So that's exactly what you're doing, and I'm anxious to be a part of it. So first question, before I decided on surgery, were there any other things that I considered? What factors helped me decide? I was pretty dead set actually on being an emergency medicine doctor. I worked for an ambulance service all through college, and I think those were the first real defining moments for me in my understanding of what it meant to be a doctor. I'd known since I was really little that medicine was what I wanted to do, but I don't think I'd had a real sense of what it was to take care of a patient until I actually had patients of my own working for the ambulance service, and that was an amazing introduction to medicine and to the responsibility of having someone's well-being in your hands. And it completely prepared me, I think, you know, for a career in medicine and completely prepared me for medical school in the sense that, you know, I think one of the things people have to get over, one of the hardest things to get past in medical school is the role of being in charge of or taking care of a patient's health. And it's something that takes years to get over. And I kind of got it out of my system before I got there. And so I watched, you know, for all of our 4 years in medical school, I watched my comrades who are easily as smart as me stumble over that. And I think that was a huge help. So, but that was how I formed my view of what medicine was and my view of what kind of things doctors did. And that was because I was interacting during that time with emergency medicine doctors. And I think that's why emergency medicine started to sort of seem really interesting to me. I liked the fact that it was very broad, that you could, you were expected to know a little bit about a lot of different things, and you were supposed to be very versatile and have an ability to really treat anything that happened to come through the door. I thought that was a great position of strength, and it spoke to some of my interests, and it really lent itself to my personality, which is, you know, I'm sort of always trying to be the Renaissance man. So that was very attractive. The lifestyle was great. The versatility of the scheduling was amazing. I mean, you could, you know, you don't have any patients of your own. You just sort of take care of whoever comes through the door. So it's shift work, and you can work, you know, 8 hours a day or 12 hours a day, and you can work 40 hours a week very easily, and you can, you know, work part-time, you can move around the country at a whim. I mean, you're not tied down. Pay is great. Emergency medicine doctors make probably almost as much, maybe even in some cases more than surgeons. The training duration's much shorter. It's 3 or 4 years instead of, you know, 5 to 7 to 9. Lots of upsides there. And I was, until I was a third year in medical school, I was sure that's what I was going to do. And then I started my surgery rotation, and I had an epiphany that was what I wanted to do. I think I've talked about it before on the blog, but I started on that rotation about halfway through my third year in medical school, and I just knew within 24 hours that that was what I wanted to do. And never look back. That was it. So I went from planning on doing a job that was going to be 40 hours a week or less and allow me to do a million other things and take 3 years of training to a job that was going to be 80 hours a week and be fully consuming for the duration of my career and was going to take 9 years of training. And I don't regret that decision at all. I mean, I would never do it any other way. If I wasn't a surgeon, I don't think I'd go into medicine. I'd do something else. I just find it profoundly satisfying, in a way that I can't imagine any other area of medicine being for me. But I understand the need to balance lifestyle and ability and interests and beliefs and these, all these issues. And, I guess my recommendation for someone going into medical school right now would be don't try to balance it now. Don't worry about it now. Go in. Drink it all in, learn everything you can, get in to see different specialties as early and as often as you can and make that decision for yourself. But don't worry about making it now. Worry about making it in your third year of medical school or your, you know, the first part of your fourth year of medical school. There's no rush. And I think almost everyone who went into medical school with me, I mean, I would say 50% of the people, if you'd asked them when they first got there, if they knew what they wanted to do, would have said, yes, they did, and named some specialty, and the other half would not have known. But of that 50% who said they knew exactly what they wanted to do when they came in, I would guess almost every single one of them ended up doing something else in the end. I don't think there's any need to rush it. I mean, once you're in, you're going to have an opportunity to see a lot of different things and make that decision for yourself, and if you're lucky, you'll be like me, and it'll just hit you, and you'll know. And if not, then you can do that elaborate calculus of saying, well, you know, what are my interests, what are my lifestyle needs, you know, where do I want to live. I mean, you can make that calculation, and that's another perfectly reasonable way to do it. Your second question, Leah, do you have any advice or suggestions for students applying to medical school? My suggestions for people applying are similar, actually. I would say don't rush it. Almost everyone who's applying to medical school now, well, maybe not almost everyone, but, you know, well over half of people applying to medical school now have not gone straight through college, undergrad, and then are going to med school. There's a real value in taking a year to figure out your life, to figure out who you are outside of a setting of academics, to kind of experience the real world a little bit. I don't think it's necessary, absolutely, but I did it and it was hugely helpful. Be yourself. Don't go in with some assumption about what it means to be a doctor. It means something different to every single person. Don't think that you have to conform to some sort of mold as you apply. Don't get intimidated by the other people on the applicant trail. If your experience is anything like mine, you'll travel around and interview at a bunch of places, and everywhere you go, people will be talking as if, you know, they're somehow much better and more accomplished than you are. And you'll eventually go to medical school with some of those people, get to know them well, and realize that they were just completely full of themselves and that you are equally accomplished. And have fun with it. It's a great time. It's a chance to go around the country and see a lot of different schools and contemplate this career. And I wish you the very best of luck. In terms of preparing yourself for medical school emotionally and personally, you know, I went to medical school in the Midwest where I knew no one. I arrived in that city and knew nobody and lived by myself for the first 3 months, until a friend of mine moved out, which had always kind of been the plan, but, that was pretty lonely. But it also seems like a long time ago. I mean, I subsequently went on to make a lot of great friends and to find that I really felt like I was in absolutely the right place and that everything was totally copacetic about my life. So I wouldn't say don't move to a place that you don't know, but be prepared if you're moving to a town that you've never been to for the first couple of months to kind of suck. It's a lot of work, but I mean, if you're getting, once you've applied to medical school and gotten in, you've already done a lot of work. Like, you're used to doing a lot of work. It's not that much more work. It's not that much more difficult. And it feels purposeful in a way that undergrad to me never did. I mean, there's the aspect of patient interactions. I think that's something that takes a lot of getting used to emotionally. The idea that you are stepping into the lives of people who are very sick and you can't do anything for them, but you are going to be asking them to do things for you, for your educational benefit, and learning to come to grips with that and feel okay about that and feel like everybody's part of that deal and that it's okay to cause pain, you know, hopefully just small bits of transitory pain for these people in the furtherance of your education. I mean, the first time you have to go in and press on the abdomen of someone who has really bad peritonitis and you're pressing on their abdomen is not going to in any way change the course of their care, but it's going to make them hurt for 30 seconds. I found that difficult, but it's something you get over quickly. I mean, and those are things that you learn when you're there. So I would say in preparing yourself for medical school, just, you know, be as broad a person as you can be. Have every experience you can reasonably have, you know, consider and think about, you know, who you are and what your values are and what the world means to you every day. And I mean, that's my recommendation for preparing emotionally for getting a cup of coffee in the morning too. I think it's the best way to live a life is to be fully engaged in contemplating what that means. But as a doctor, I think you do get to do it more than most and in a more direct way than most people. And the more you can sort of go in ready to open yourself up to that experience and put it in some kind of context based on the life that you've led up to that point, the better off you'll be. I'm excited for you, Leah. Best of luck. Do let me know how it all works out for sure. And with that, let's talk about Dashing MD 2.0. Whatever your politics, I hope that you were excited by last week's election and by the way that it represents a difference, a change in the way that we're all going to view the world and be viewed by the world. I expect that people's opinions who listen to this blog run the gamut from very liberal to very conservative. But I hope that everyone was excited by seeing how many people were excited by that election. I think personally that Barack Obama is a great guy. I think his family is amazing. I've had the opportunity to interact with them a little bit. And I really just couldn't think more highly of an individual. That said, I also think that this election is not really in any substantive way about him as an individual. What really spoke to me was the way millions of people, average, ordinary people for the most part, came behind a common ideal and a common message and worked for that. And that message was that we as individuals have a voice that matters and that we as individuals can change the world. And to me, that's a message that's profoundly heartening. And I think profoundly important, and I feel newly able to take those words to heart and act on them. And so I think the way that I see this podcast going is in the direction of trying not just to describe my personal stories and my own feelings about things, but trying to, in the context of my own experience, create an understanding about the way the world is and maybe even advocate for a way for it to be different and to provide you with stories of me trying to engage the world and change it for the better. But also to provide you with the opportunity and the tools to do that as well. And so I hope that this podcast can come to be a sort of gathering place for those ideas. Also the blog, dashingmd.blogspot.com. I've said it before, now I really mean it. I think is going to be updated much more frequently, and hopefully provide more examples of interesting stories in medicine and medical research that hopefully will serve as a place to begin for a very active discussion, not just of kind of the way things are, but the way that things should be. And I think that's an important distinction. I realized as I was watching this election and reading about this election and really becoming entirely consumed by this election that I really was just doing a lot of watching and a lot of reading, and that I wasn't doing a lot of working. I wasn't taking that information and using it to a useful purpose. Now, I mean, coming out of it, I have an extremely good understanding, I think, of presidential electoral politics. I would hope so. I really did devote 6 to 8 hours a day to it for a long time. But more importantly, I think coming out of it, I've come to a realization that much of that time was not time well spent. That time spent just watching is not valuable time, that time should be spent trying to create change or at least to voice an opinion about what's going on in the world, as opposed to just consuming other people's opinions about what's going on in the world. So the podcast version 2.0 is going to be about that. It's also going to be about some good stories, and I'm happy to report that I will be going back to clinical work as a moonlighter at the local VA hospital before too long. So hopefully there will be some more blood and guts available for you in your delectation. And I'm doing some really cool projects on the side as well. I'm doing a bunch of consulting for film and TV, which is a new thing that I've sort of started doing, exploring on the side, and I'm trying to sort of evolve into a business. And that's been going really well, actually, surprisingly well. Hopefully I'll have some stories that I can talk to you there about that don't violate my non-disclosure agreements. So I can't tell you everything, but I'm going to tell you something about how all that process works, which I just think is fascinating and a very interesting way to approach thinking about medicine when you start thinking about it not as, you know, a patient and what disease they have, but a story and how do you find a disease that fits that story. So I look forward to hearing about all of that and telling you all about it as well. And I of course want to hear from you about your thoughts on the podcast, about your thoughts on life, about your thoughts on medicine. I love that interaction. It's what makes doing this podcast worthwhile is getting the mail from you and being able to have a conversation with you across the ether here. That's at dashingmd@gmail.com, dashingmd.blogspot.com, on Facebook, Dashing Doctor, DOCTEUR is my name. And I would love to hear from you. Oh, the mystery from last week. We're going to put the mystery thing on hold for a little while. I'm not totally sure it's working for me, but just for those of you who are interested, the mystery from last week, or last episode, the mystery from last episode many months ago, was retinoblastoma. It gives a child an eye that looks like a cat's eye. It's reflective. That's how it's usually found. The parents are looking at the child's eye and they realize that one eye is reflecting light strangely, and it's because it has a retinoblastoma in it. It's a classic boards question, so Leah, in a few years, you'll need to know that. And that's about it. I'm glad to be back with you. I really am. I look forward to hearing from you. And I look forward to being back with you soon with more news from the Dashing MD podcast. Take care, everyone. Be well.